Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 10th episode of the Merry Little Podcast. My name is Jeff Westover, lead reindeer at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com. Today we share with you a sad Christmas story from nearly 80 years ago. As his wife lay terminally ill on the couch next to the family Christmas tree, Robert held his young daughter in his lap as they gazed upon a snowy December scene out the window of their Chicago apartment. Barbara, his daughter, at 4 years old, knew all too well that things were not normal that Christmas for her family. "Why," she asked her father, "why is my mommy different from all the other mommies?" For her father, Robert, this heartbreaking question would inspire creation within him. As a copywriter for Montgomery Ward's department stores, May would use this tender parental moment to create one of the most famous Christmas legends of modern times. There, on the spot, Robert May first told the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, one of Santa's chosen reindeer who just happened to be different than all the others. It was a story inspired by May's own sickly youth. As a boy, he could not play in the games other children would play because he was different. Well, you know the rest of the story as it goes for Rudolph. You hear him in song, see him on television, and now, almost 80 years as part of the American Christmas culture, Rudolph has forever joined Santa's elite team of named reindeer.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, "Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?" Then how the reindeer loved him.
You would think that we would tell this story behind the story of Rudolph over and over again. After all, what could be more inspiring than to know a beloved icon of the season came from comforting a young child grappling with why her mother was different because of her cancer? The problem is that the story is just not true. Yes, kids, you cannot believe everything you read on the internet, and the legend behind the creation of Rudolph is just a myth. And that, by the way, comes from the creator of the story, Robert May himself. In a 1975 interview, not long before his passing, May said that Rudolph was born of a simple work assignment and not a magical parental teaching moment. He was assigned to create an animal-based Christmas story that Wards could use as a Christmas giveaway. Montgomery Wards had been producing coloring books as giveaways at Christmas time for years before May drew the assignment to write the new children's Christmas story. May, who did suffer from bullying as a child, coupled his own experiences when he was a kid with a nod towards the ugly duckling in developing his Christmas storyline. He struggled with naming the lead character. His first choice was Rollo, which seemed almost too happy for a malign character. He considered the name Reginald, but decided against that because the name was simply too British. He finally settled on Rudolph, whose problem stemmed from a physical abnormality that nearly nixed the whole project from the very beginning. That abnormality, of course, was his red nose. When May's boss read the story, he got concerned. Rudolph's red nose was a problem, and he feared that people would associate the lead character in this children's story with drunkenness and alcoholism. May, who felt the project slipping past him, took a staff artist to a local zoo and had him create Rudolph, red nose and all, based on the animals that they saw there. And that effort saved the story. Montgomery Ward's Prendon May's story for Christmas in 1939 and distributed millions of copies as demand for the story just was unending. In fact, by 1946, and despite paper shortages brought on by World War II, the story of Rudolph was distributed to more than 6 million people, making it more popular than any bestseller of the time. Reindeer, you see, are very, very popular with children. As the war came to a close and the industry of Christmas started to prosper, after all, this was the era of White Christmas and other classic Christmas creations, May approached the company about acquiring the rights to Rudolph. He may have created the story, but Ward's, in fact, owned it. So successful had the campaign been for Ward's that May was granted the rights to Rudolph as a bonus, and it set him up for life. May produced a commercial edition of Rudolph in 1947 and a 9-minute cartoon that same year. But it was not until May's brother-in-law, Johnny Marks, wrote the verse and the song we all know and love based on May's story and had Gene Autry record it in 1949 that really turned Rudolph into a Christmas superstar. The song sold millions of copies in 1949, and for each successive Christmas thereafter was second only to White Christmas in popularity. In 1964, with the song still going strong, the story of Rudolph was adapted yet again into a television special narrated by Burl Ives and produced by Rankin and Bass. That iconic production, like the song and the book before it, ran each holiday season to popular acclaim. Long before videotapes and DVDs, Rudolph had become a central part of the American Christmas story. Robert May probably did not envision such success. His story of Rudolph, after all, is far less complex than the version we know now. May's Rudolph did not live at the North Pole. He was not the offspring of one of Santa's reindeer, and he did not train, as the television special teaches us, to fly Santa's sleigh. May's Rudolph was born of loving parents in a normal home located in a remote village far from Santa Claus. Rudolph was well-adjusted, and despite his red nose, which is never fully explained by May, and he was only discovered by Santa, who was delivering presents to Rudolph's home on a foggy Christmas night. May's story was added upon first by Marx, who wrote the famous verse memorized by children ever since. That story was further embellished and characters were added, such as Yukon Cornelius and Hermie the Elf Dentist, with the 1964 Rankin Bass production. In fact, Rudolph's story changed almost as much as May's has. The sad tale of May first telling of his grief-stricken daughter, the story of Rudolph, was a fabrication of another Ward's copywriter just a few years ago in the year 2000. With Montgomery Ward's by the year 2000 on the verge of bankruptcy, Ward's tried to capitalize one last time on the story of Rudolph by publishing May's inspiration for the story of Rudolph. They concocted the entire thing and then published it. Unbeknownst to them, May himself debunked that version of the creation of Rudolph some 25 years previously when he told the story of Rudolph's creation himself. Barbara, it turns out, was indeed told the story of Rudolph before it ever went public. But May didn't do it to comfort the girl. He told her the story to test it out, to see if a child would respond to the story favorably. She was, in essence, a focus group of one. Fortunately for us, young Barbara May did enjoy the story, and Rudolph did indeed go down in history. Join us at MyMerryChristmas.com, the Internet's longest ongoing celebration of Christmas and home to the world's merriest Christmas community at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas. Premier members of the Merry Forums enjoy access to the Merry Podcast, each episode being about an hour in length and aired as part of the programming at Kringle Radio, our year-round commercial-free Christmas radio station, also exclusive to the premier members of the Merry Forums. If you are an artist with Christmas to share or just have an idea for the Merry Little Podcast that you'd like to get out to the world, don't hesitate to email me, jeff@merrypodcast.com. For all the members of the Merry Forums, this is Jeff Westover of MyMerryChristmas.com, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.